Since this people draw near to me with their mouth, says the Eternal, honoring me with their lips, since their religion is a mockery, a mere tradition learned by rote, Isaiah 29:13. It's essential that you read this carefully and see the true meaning of it. He was showing that it was not a mere tradition, it was not something that one could learn by rote, but an understanding deeper than that, very much deeper than that. Are we not trying to rearrange the world, to rearrange its values while maintaining our own separation and nationalism, religious dogma, superstition, hatred, and acquisitiveness? Is it not necessary that we eliminate first the causes within ourselves that produce conflict and misery? We're all trying to rearrange the world. And those who are trying to rearrange the world and create new values have not realized the cause of the trouble is within themselves. They have not yet understood the wholeness of things, the wholeness of the universe, the wholeness in which the infinite works through man, because it's the wholeness that works through you. And there is only wholeness, wholeness of reality. So we are all trying to rearrange the values while maintaining our own separation in nationalism, religious dogma, superstition, hatred, acquisitiveness. If we seek truth, we must first abandon these values that are based upon ill will, possessiveness, greed, superstition. We must first of all decline to be guided by politicians, priests, and economists with their endless plans for so-called peace which leads us to destruction. These are strong words, but it's necessary for you to think about them and see where you're being led. If you are unable to think for yourselves, then you're caught up in these things and you're led into destruction. The whole world today is caught up in propaganda. This propaganda follows a line of action, and those who produce this propaganda understand that the mind of man is like a sponge. He absorbs these things, these ideas, and when the world gets those ideas completely planted in their mind, they begin to express them outwardly. And naturally is the expression of the idea outwardly, creating, as it were, these activities in the ether, which affects every other mind, and before you know where you are, you're all caught up in it. But yet, you see, those minds are of little value, for the simple reason that they are minds that are reacting to things external to themselves and have no concentrated thought. It requires wisdom and understanding to come to the realization that spirit alone is the power behind thought. And when one realizes this tremendous force that was behind thought, because spirit is behind all creation, and spirit is behind thought, because spirit in its activity thought the universe into operation, and it is spirit in you that it also thinks. And the spirit is the creative principle within man. That spirit is then the source of your thinking. But if you are caught up in things external to yourself, then you react to these things, and your mind is a conglomeration of thoughts, having no force or activity whatsoever. It has got no driving power, because you're caught up in all the ideas and conditions in which you live. Therefore, you're no longer able to get out of those conditions because you're caught up in them. Because you're ignorant of the fact. But when a concentrated mind, knowing the source of his being and the source of his thinking, and knows clearly that the totality of all spirit is behind him, because spirit is not divided, it is whole. In that individual, the wholeness of the spirit and the direction of his thought can cause a complete calmness to take place. But remember that one who has risen to this state of realization can't go about reacting to this and reacting to that. Otherwise, the power of his thought would destroy things. That's why Jesus said, "Condemn not, lest ye be condemned." He could do nothing else except forgive those who crucified him because of the power of his thought. When he came across the fig tree and his sword was not bearing fruit, he smote it. And it died. He withdrew the life from it. Why? Because he saw clearly. The whole thing is this. Unless this tree was bearing fruit, it was of no value. But Jesus couldn't discriminately withdraw life here and withdraw life there, for the simple reason that he would do untold harm. The power of his thinking set up in the ether such a power that it caused the very atoms of the tree to die, to change, to become overwhelmed. Life was withdrawn from it, and it naturally died at once. Think then of a mind concentrated in the realization of the totality of all spirit, and in that consciousness a realization of thought, of sending this power of thought into the ether, into the atmosphere. That individual is not affected by propaganda. He's not caught up in the things here and there. Jesus was not caught up in the idea of force, that he could control the world by force. He knew perfectly well if he used force, that force would remain. And he knew perfectly well the only way that a true existence could become the existence of man in peace and harmony and a successful living was in love and wisdom. And he knew that. Because he knew his own power. If he used force, he could destroy what he wanted to, because of his power. And it is the same with any individual who rises to that state of consciousness, where he becomes aware of the wholeness of spirit behind his own thinking and his thought. He sets in operation these tremendous forces of electromagnetic activity that charges the ether and causes this ether to penetrate the minds of the people, even penetrate the walls to make them disintegrate. I'm telling you the truth. I know that you'll not be able to do it because you have not the mind yet to do it with. You haven't grasped the completeness. You haven't grasped the wholeness of spirit. You have not discerned your thoughts so that you can eliminate all those thoughts from your mind that are hindering the expression of that which is real in itself. And it's a good thing, too, that it's impossible for anyone to perform these feats until such time as the mind has been cleansed and cleared of all the hindrances that prevent the activity of this tremendous power invested in the Master. The fact remains that we have made these politicians, priests, and economists our leaders through ignorance of true values. Now we have to become deeply aware of the cause within ourselves, and the responsibility remains with us to remove the cause. This alone is the solution to all conflict. First of all, we must understand the cause, then the real that is behind all can be realized. This alone can bring peace and happiness. In reality alone is there enduring happiness. In reality alone is there creative being. Without this inward treasure, the outward can have little value to mankind. Unless you have this inward treasure, the outward is of little value to you. Think now. Is the outward of any value to you? What is the greatest treasure? Treasure of that which is within. The organization of law and economic planning will ever defeat its own purpose. But when the awareness of the real is established, the outer and the inner will cease to be separated, for we will understand that the outer is but the expression of the inner. Our religion will no longer be lip service, but the true expression of reality, the one and only creative being. And is it not so that the sayings of Jesus have become platitudes, and those platitudes have been made the foundation of the greatest religion we have today, the Christian religion? But if his sayings were followed out from a scientific point of view, instead of being mere platitudes to the people, life today would have been entirely different. Every word he said was scientific. Behind his words was a knowledge, a scientific knowledge of the universe. Therefore, his words were words of law, not platitudes. But what do we get today? A religion based upon his words, and those who talk them know nothing at all about them. Therefore, we're caught up in an orthodox condition. One bishop gets up and denounces another bishop. Another bishop gets up and denounces another one. One religion denounces another religion, and so forth. But don't you see that's all relative? It all belongs to the mind of opposites. A belief. Therefore, there can be no solidarity in beliefs. There can only be solidarity in the realization of the truth and a scientific truth. And unless there is a scientific truth as the basis of any religion or philosophy, it will fall to pieces and disappear into nothingness as it is doing today. To sustain the Christian religion today from its exit will require a sound scientific basis. And the scientists in the world today are the only one that can do it. And unless religion and science move hand in hand, side by side, then religion is doomed. There are many who say they practice brotherly love, yet condone organized murder. One has to understand the contradictions to understand ourselves. Without self-knowledge, brotherly love is impossible. We must think out every thought, feeling. Then we will understand what is in the mind. You cannot practice brotherly love if you are caught up in envy, jealousy, hate, antagonisms, different creeds, mass murder and conflict. Brotherly love only comes when all these things are cleared away through understanding oneself. You can talk about brotherly love till doomsday, But you will never know what it is until such time as you cleanse your minds. There is no use of talking about the bush. There is no use of me telling you you're wonderful people because you think brotherly love. At the same time, you think brotherly love, you think the very opposite. How can you then eliminate those things? By deserting your thinking, by following out your thought feeling to the very end, so you will understand it. Not merely seeing it on the surface and then letting it go, but completely seizing that thought feeling and searching it to the very depths of yourself, and there you will find the root cause. Try to understand every thought feeling, pursue it, and it will yield its meaning. Only in this way can the mind be freed from conflict. Then we will create, in cooperation with the divine principle, a true democracy. When the individual becomes aware that this cooperation is possible, then the mind heart becomes passively still to receive the creative reality that is ever present. This is renewal. How then can you renew your mind, as the Spirit says? Renew your mind daily by the Spirit. But the mind must be cleansed first. And how are you going to cleanse your mind? It's a very simple process. Discern your thinking. Now, I don't think there is five or six out of you that has begun to discern your thinking yet. At least you may have discerned in the surface a few ideas, a few thoughts. But have you followed them? Have you discerned your thinking and finished that particular deserving until you have seen and understood yourselves, understood your contradictions, understood the two opposites that are always in the mind? You can't have brotherly love and have mass murder at the same time. The renewal does not come from birth or death, the past or the future. There is no renewal in the world of opposites, only freedom from the past and future. Freedom from opposites brings renewal, for there can be no understanding except in the present. But if the present is burdened with the memories and regrets of the past, the hatreds of yesterday, and the conflict of opposites, there can be no renewal in the present. How can you renew yourself if your mind is a jumble of hates, antagonisms? If you hate one person and love another, you can't be a loving person. You are living in duality. If you dislike one person and like another person, if you have hate in your heart and then you have love in your heart, you can't be a loving person. Don't you see that is duality? That is opposites. That is contradiction. I'm here for the specific purpose of showing you your mind, of endeavoring to have you to cleanse your mind. Only by this cleansing can you reach that power where you can think clearly and create. Even one passion can have silence. Silence of the mind can silence all minds. That's the silence. And your mind was silenced Think now. Could you think of anything? Was it possible for you at that moment to think of anything? Of course you could. Your mind was caught up in the silence. That's what I mean of a powerful thought for a concentrated mind that can use it for a specific purpose. And you are the ones that have been trained for that purpose. Our past successes, our failures, are the experiences we have. This must not hinder the use of our creative ability now, or the way in which we use it. Just as the growth of corn reveals itself while man sleeps, so is our thoughts revealed, and there is nothing strange about this. The great thing in man's life is to understand himself. Only when this is accomplished can pure thinking and pure action come into being. The seeds we sow in the divine mind by our enlightened consciousness grow apace and produce hundredfold for our benefit. Yes, the seed of corn is planted in the ground that reveals its growth while man sleeps. Yet so does man's mind. The thoughts he sows, what do? They become active, vibrations, electromagnetic waves, first of all permeating his brain and nervous system, then through the whole of his body, the very atoms begin to transform. Then out it goes into the atmosphere, and if it has any strength whatsoever, it will move far in the atmosphere. And many people can be caught up in it. But then it begins to return back again. Just as you drop a stone in a pool, you'll find the ripples move to the bank, and then begin to come back to the very center. That is the law. Consequently, man's thoughts come back to himself. And what he created, he produces in himself. Therefore, as a man thinks, and as a seed is sown in the ground, and reveals itself while man sleeps, so does man's thoughts, the same, reveal themselves as man sleeps. The only authority you should recognize and the only command you allow that is of the creative principle of the present within, which nothing can change. Beliefs will change, people will change, but the presence never. In this way you increase your joy through your creative ability in the presence that is ever present. It is like the rock in the ocean. The waves beat upon it, but it remains unmoved. Most people are afraid of the evil they're always looking for, and are blinded to the great divine light of the presence. Some become warped up in the evil which they make a reality. Thus so many become childishly ignorant, which leads to pettiness and narrowness. This does not give true experience, but rather a treat from life itself. How many thousands do you see of those people are afraid of the evil they are always looking for? The key to it is this. Corn to your thought, so you attract to yourself. If you're always thinking evil, as sure as you are alive, you're going to bring it about and round you. Look, the person is always looking for evil. They're sneaking round like a snooping dog somewhere looking for it. And look at the faces. Long, haggard faces. Eyes sunken. Skin very deep and sallow, faces that you look upon you'd see them probably in a mummy show. And there you have the type. Then you have the type that are always wrapped up in the evil which they think is a reality. And because they think it's a reality, they're afraid of it. They're trying to run away from it all the time, but they're always caught up in it. You can't run away from your own thoughts. You can't run away from your own creations. You can discern them and understand them. You must enter the arena of life with confidence, understanding that the creative principle is within. You are the navigator that sails on the sea of life and are not affected by the waves or the surface unrest. With this understanding, you are no longer caught up in external values, but are able to navigate the ocean of life with true creative ability, dissolving all that hinders your true expression. Your experiences must only be channels that lead to the vast ocean of life in which you become one. Then open your sails and let the breath of God direct you. Not my will, but thine be done. That was the great wonderful truth, the Master said. He'd come to the realization, the truth. But he had come to it, mind you, through understanding, through a process of elimination, through a process of discerning, and through discerning came elimination, and through elimination came realization, and realization came the power. He came to the realization of the one truth, I and the Father are one. That the wholeness of Spirit was within himself, because Spirit could not be divided. Therefore, the power of his thought was tremendous. The storm beat. The waves became as solid as a rock. He created by his own mind from the ether loaves and fishes and food. You think these things are impossible. It's only the ignorant that discredit these things because they do not understand. But when you know the basis upon which the universe is built, and you see the power of thought that was behind it. And you see the man that was made in the image and likeness of his creator. Then you begin to look at things from a different point of view. The person who does not know himself and tries to convince others of the truth is a hypocrite. But the person who has the truth in however a small degree, like the smallest of all seeds, will grow to become a great tree, and all shelter under its branches. The smallest seed of this truth of reality, even if it's just peering into your mind, present time, it will grow. I'm sure it will grow. It will grow to be as the greatest tree, with its branches in all directions. And who will come to shelter under it? All who are in need. And you are that tree. This is a state of mind that is ready for creative ideas. It understands that the things that are seen are but the product of that which is unseen. Jesus said, as people who listen to the word and take it in, bearing fruit at the rate of 30, 60, and a hundredfold, Mark 4. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This means directing our creative ability into constructive channels, producing that which is acceptable to Him. And that which is acceptable to Him must be of benefit to all, for He is all. I often wish that I could just give you this thing. I only wish sometimes that I could give it to you completely and say, here it is. I could see Jesus doing the same thing in His great steep of glory, His great exaltation. He wept because He saw the ignorance of the people around. And so will you one day, as you become more and more aware of this truth that I'm revealing to you. You will weep one day to see the ignorance of people around. If we look to the mechanism of our bodies, we will see that the brain, through the nervous system, is connected to every part of the body and controls all voluntary and involuntary activities. This mechanism responds to our thoughts and emotions. Therefore, there is a consciousness that is traversing the whole system, outpicturing what we think and feel. Not only does it affect the nervous system, but as these nerves go right through into the cells of the body, the small dendrons, capillaries, the very nucleus of the cell becomes changed. Have you ever seen a cell changing? No. But you can, through a very strong microscope. When there is a condition in the body that is out of harmony with the whole of the body, there is a change taking place in the cell structure. The very atoms are transformed. Then when you feel the change, now this change takes place unconsciously very often. Because of why? Generally often your reactions, your emotions, your tensions, and so forth. And unconsciously this change is taking place, and then you become aware of the change. Eventually it is brought to the brain. The brain then reveals it to the mind becomes aware of it. And not understanding the cause, you become alarmed. This alarming state in your mind is the most dangerous point because it intensifies the trouble. It sets in motion your power of your thought, sending electromagnetic waves through the whole body. And the whole body becomes active because of your electromagnetic waves. But not only that, you send it out of the atmosphere, and any person who is in a sick state will absorb them. Think then of your responsibility towards mankind. It is very simple, very great. You are the ones that are learning now the power of the Master. If you use or misuse this power, then you cause trouble for yourself. What is the key to your own security? Love and wisdom. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. That was the key to your security. As my Father has loved me, so do I love you. Therefore continue in my love. That is your security. So a person came to me today, and he said that he was cursed. And this curse upon him was doing all this damage. He was caught up in this curse. The more he thought about it, the worse he got. Until such time his whole mind was in a whirl. And then he started to curse the person who cursed him. And I said, now, you are doing a very wrong thing. You do not understand the law upon which the power of thought works. Jesus said to you, now his words are law, are scientific, they're law. Bless them that curse you. That was your security. That's your freedom. Do good unto those that injure you. That is your freedom. Don't you see it? It's as plain as a pikestaff. Anybody who doesn't see that is as blind as a bat. We are told that we are the macrocosm of the great macrocosm. Therefore, what we think and feel must affect everyone, some way or another. If we can discern what we are doing, we will not create conditions that adversely affect ourselves and others. The intelligence that built the body, brain, and nervous system built it for its own self-expression. If we would remember this when we feel and think, it would be a guide to our thoughts, words, and actions. All visible forms are the result of the great invisible creative energy. Revealing the creative principle in action. With a little understanding, we can cooperate with this great divine creative principle which created us in its own life. The use of the creative ability, has only been dimly understood. The greatest possibilities, more wonderful than man has dared to imagine, can be enjoyed through the conscious use of this creative ability with understanding. Then let us be mindful of the fact that the seeds we sow in fertile soil will be produced by the creative principle in the exact form of the seed itself. Sometimes 30, sometimes 60, and sometimes 100-fold. Even greater things than these shall you do. I am convinced, as man becomes aware of the scientific laws behind his own thinking, and the laws of the ether, and more understanding of the electromagnetic waves, and an awareness of his own consciousness, man will become greater than ever and beyond our imagination. And Jesus was true when he said, greater things than these shall you do. Man has not developed yet. Mankind is living in ignorance. He's born in the ignorance of generations past, and he's living in the ignorance of past generations, and still eating the fruit of that ignorance, and still go on eating it, because he does not know, because he is ignorant. The walls of Jericho, ignorance, are being broken down by the truth of the creative power within. And with the rhythm of all in united understanding, the walls of ignorance will crumble to pieces. Let every soul be subject unto the highest power, for there is no power but God. Let the mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians 2:5-6. The meaning of these words show us that if the individual consciousness through discovering all that which is relative, good and evil, will unite with the universal consciousness that makes the individual a conscious creator. All is possible to that individual who understands this relationship. This is the faith Jesus had when he said, "Know ye not, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Can you say that and know the true meaning of it? You can say it at first as a word platitude. It has no effect upon your mind. But gradually, as you grow in strength, as you grow in knowledge and wisdom, these words strike you from a different point of view. You're amazed that you didn't see the true meaning of it before, and you think that is the meaning of it. But as you go on unfolding more and more, these words will strike you again, and with greater amazement, you will say, "Why, I should have known that before. Why didn't I realize that before?" This is the greatest thing that we've ever known. At that moment it would be. But as you unfold more and more, these words will still convey to you more and more of the wonder that is behind them. I have experienced it. I know it. That each time as the consciousness unfolds and the words come to me, I see the greater vision of them. I feel the power that is behind them. I see the Master's mind. I understand then what he knew. I get a glimpse of his great wisdom, his love, and his power. Faith built upon an outside agency will be full of fear and doubt, but a faith that is built upon the rock of truth will stand against all that assails it. Therefore, true faith comes from beyond the mind. For what is in the mind is double. Fear and faith are side by side. When one is up, the other is down, and vice versa. Therefore, the thoughts created under these conditions are equally produced. Thus, conflict arises in the mind that is double. The double-minded creature that he is, he need not think he will get anything from the Lord. The Lord is that which is the creative. How can a double mind then create anything? Because it's through the mind that you do create. But if the mind is double, how can the Lord create through that mind that is double? How can the Lord create through a mind that is full of conflicts and oppositions? How can the Lord create through a mind that is full of contradictions? The Lord is that which is within. There is no validity if you merely accept my statement, for such acceptance will just become another illusion of the ego. You must know for yourself, directly. The truth of yourself cannot be realized through another, however great he may be, and there is no authority that can reveal it. Truth can only be uncovered through your own understanding, and understanding comes only through self-knowledge. We have all the same problem, but each of us must find the answer himself, herself. Perhaps you think I'm hard when I say these things. But if I did not say these things, I would not be true. Therefore, my words to you are only a means to direct you to the uncovering of the self and all its ways. Only when this is seen and understood can there be freedom from illusion and conflict. If you are intense in your search, you will find the right answer. Surely each one of you can become aware of his own prejudices, greed, intolerance, superstitions, antagonisms, beliefs, cravings, etc., in which he is caught up. You only can understand another when you have understood yourself. You have all the same conditions, your prejudices, your greed, your intolerances, your superstitions, your antagonisms, your beliefs, your cravings, etc. You have all the same things, that's the self. Why discern the self then and see what the self is? Then you can dissolve these things and purify the mind. Is it not so that according to your own pleasures and pains, your prejudices, your beliefs, your desires, your passing fancies, your antagonisms, that your thought is shaped and controlled? You cannot build truth upon such a weak and changing foundation. If you are prejudiced, limited, you will find according to your conditioning. How to approach this great problem is all important. And what is important is first to understand the self with all these things which is attached to the self, which the self uses continuously. When I hear people talking about other people, I shut up. I never say a word. I feel sorry. And yet, you keep quiet, say nothing. Because you don't want to hurt another's feelings. Yet, to be truthful, you should get a kick in the pants. Is it not so that according to your own pleasures and pain, then you have all these prejudices, your belief, your thought is built from that. Your thought is built from your reaction to things external to yourself. Have you ever examined your mind to see what your thoughts were? And how you have been reacting to this and that? And all the things external to yourself, and your mind is a conglomeration of nothings. How can a light then pierce those things? The light of the consciousness. Piercing a mind that is filled of conglomeration. What will it have on the screen of life but a conglomeration? Thank God it's the law that no mind can have power till such time as it's cleansed. Is it not so that we blame and criticize and accept authority when we see beyond that authority? But we do not examine our own craving for an authority that can direct our conduct. Immediately you depend upon an authority, there is doubt, fear. The seeking for an authority arises out of your own uncertainty, of your own capacity to know what is true. Is it not so that we feel secure if another will chart the sea for us? We desire to find a safe refuge, so we follow anyone who will direct us. Our uncertainty makes us fear, therefore we worship an authority. But through authority, freedom cannot be found. Freedom comes only through understanding. Not through acceptance of an authority, nor through imitation. Is it not foolish then to accept the experience of another as a guide when it is you who has to seek and feel out the self, and that can only be done by the self alone? The past and the future bring doubt. An authority demands conformity, which must end in conflict. Living in the present, discerning all that hinders the expression of the real. This is creative being, in which there is no doubt or conflict. Let the mind be in us that was in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful saying. But you're beginning to see meaning of that, aren't you now? My words may seem strange to those who have not heard them before, but if you will study deeply, you will comprehend what I am saying. To accept only what I say will not give you understanding. But if my words have the effect of making you self-reliant through self-discernment and self-awareness, then they have fulfilled their purpose. I acknowledge no authority except the creative principle which is within. No authority except God. And God is Christ, and Christ is God. That is my authority, and there is none other. And authority then is within myself, because the Christ was born in me when I was born, and before I was born, it was the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, and the Word that was made flesh. I am that Word. That is my authority. No other. Therefore, I do not impose upon you any other authority external to yourselves, not my authority. And I am not your authority, nor do I impose upon you any authority, except that which created you, the Almighty God. Whatever this creative principle may be called, it, Creator God, or any name you like, it never fails to bring from the unseen to the seen in exact correspondence to your own state of consciousness. You will know what is your state of consciousness by your attitude towards others. If you live in reality, you will translate reality into your daily living. And you know best yourself how far you are fulfilling your mission on earth. What I yield is better than the best of gold. What I bring in is better than rare silver. I deal right fairly, justly do I act, enriching those who love me and filling their stores full. Proverbs 8, 19, 20, 21, Mark. Benediction. O all-pervading One, from within my consciousness Thou hast removed the cloud of doubt from my mind heart. My mind is made free with Thy ever-presence, and my soul purified with Thy wholeness. Now I recognize Thee alone. Thou art my teacher, my guide, my friend, my creative being. O Blessed One, thank Thee for showing me the way to Thee within.